Helsinki, Cape Town, Sao Paulo, Manchester, Bangalore, and somewhere in Russia I can't actually remember the name of.
The U.S. economy is crashing. They're selling off their bonds. No bailout now. Across the pond, industry can't compete like half a century ago. So let's make some threats, timber. Watch out below. The Yankees have gone crazy. It seems the times come when now is the moment to attack Canada again. Invade. The Yankees have gone crazy. It seems the times come when now is the moment to attack Canada again. Your victim can't mount much of a defense. 1/13th the population, now that's about the size. Maybe they'll be cowed if you threaten a reprise.
Welcome back to Guerrilla Radio. Well, in case you'd forgotten about the genocide in Palestine, it's still going on in Gaza, in the West Bank, and in Jerusalem. The so-called settlers, extremist Jewish supremacists, continue their robbing and beating and killing to such a degree, even American ambassador and avowed Christian Zionist Mike Huckabee referred to them as terrorists. Well, that's hardly news, but what Huckabee and the rest of the West don't concede is the unity existing between the Israeli political establishment and those same settlers. Salam Hamdan is a Palestinian political activist and social feminist from Ramallah. She's in Canada watching things go from worse to worst at home. Welcome back to the program, Salam.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you for having me back.
Well, it's my great pleasure, of course, circumstances aside. Salam, what are you hearing from your friends and family back home in Palestine?
Yes, Chris. As you just have mentioned, it keeps getting from worse to worse all the time. The same story, but much worse with much further escalation. My friends, my family keeps talking about the people who get killed continuously. Since the start of this year, 42 people have been killed in the West Bank. 10 of them are below 18 years old. Since the so-called ceasefire in Gaza, 1,300 people have been killed so far, and approximately 5,000 people injured, of course, with the sparse medical help. Also, my friends keep talking about the bodies that Israel keeps to withhold. This has been a ritual since 1967. It's nothing new, but it's getting worse continuously. Israel acknowledges 1,700 bodies withhold in the Israeli fridges and the numbers cemetery. Of them, 83 children below 18 years old and 10 women. Thousands are still missing in Gaza, so we believe that some of their bodies are also withheld. After the so-called ceasefire, they have sent back 66 boxes. This is what my friends in Gaza told me, of pieces of bodies and skulls. And it was very, very difficult for the families, if even possible, to recognize their dear ones. And in the West Bank, when they return a martyr, when they return a body, it's always conditional that this body is to be put in ground, buried late at night with the fewest number of people. They also talk a lot about the settlers, the extremists, supremacists, as you have put it, and it's rightly put, that keep attacking now very systematically and as always guarded by the Israeli army, attacking the villages and the cities in the West Bank, mostly in area B and C, and sometimes in the cities themselves. Like, I live in Ramallah, at the western side of Ramallah, like at the borders of the city, and just a few weeks ago, settlers came and put a cement cubicle at the end of the road, and it's still there, which indicates that another settler outpost is going to take place at the edge of Ramallah. It is estimated that there are 800,000 settlers in the West Bank. They are increasing rapidly. And it is registered by the Palestinian human rights organizations that the average of the daily attacks and assaults, extremely violent attacks by the settlers, is approximately 9 attacks a day in the West Bank. The first 3 months of this year, just until the end of March, 106 attacks have been registered. Today, Israel controls the vast majority of the West Bank, like almost 100% of the Jordanian Valley, 70 to 75% of Area C, and almost 50% of the rest of the areas. It has been acknowledged by the Israeli government. It's now legalized for the settlers to expand their outposts in Area B around the Palestinian cities. 24 new outposts have been licensed in Area B, only in Area B recently. And my friends tell me that the ones who live in the villages, that these outposts are placed on the water springs areas and, you know, vital agricultural areas to deprive the entire village. And the aim is to push people out, to have people displaced. Also, there is a very organized, systematic uprooting of trees. I don't know why they do that, but I believe to make our lives further and further difficult. Tens of hectares around the cities, they burn the trees, they uproot them. The ancient olive trees, they uproot them and they take them, place them in their settlements. They also target the animals. Just yesterday, and I wanted to tell you about that in this interview, I watched a heartbreaking video in a village nearby Nablus, Douma, where the settlers in their truck were dragging a donkey and speeding with their trucks, laughing like crazy, and the donkey shouting. It was really difficult to watch until this donkey has died. They, of course, attack, farms in the villages and burn livestock or steal them, also guarded by the Israeli army. The military operations in the West Bank are continuous. It has never stopped. Now, more and more targeting the northern West Bank. like Jenin, Nablus, Tobas, you know, these districts, Tul Karem. It aims at, you know, creating structural changes, if I can put it like that, internal displacement of people, moving population from one place to another, and creating new borders, new geographical de factos on the ground. In the so-called the Iron Wall operation, a military operation last year in the refugee camps, North and West Bank, as I've stated before in your program, approximately 40,000 people have been displaced. The vast majority of those people have never returned to their houses. According to also Jerusalem Legal Aid Center, that I keep tracking their reports continuously, in Area C last year, Israel has destroyed 1,800 constructions. Constructions meaning little factories, shops, farms, even houses. And early this year, also the first 3 months this year, they have destroyed 913 constructions. That has led to the displacement of hundreds of families. To put it in short, there is like a very systematic and now legalized project of colonialist expansion in the West Bank, with new budgets earmarked by the government. The government, the Israeli government, and the settlers are working hand in hand together, unlike what it is, you know, proposed by the media, the mainstream media in your countries. It's not the deeds of the settlers. They work completely under the direction and control of the Israeli government. Huge, hundreds, if not thousands of hectares in the West Bank have been recently announced as the lands of the Israeli state, as they have done in 1948. And the settlers helping by attacking the areas and helping by terrorizing the people and moving them. Also, the restrictions on movement is continuous in the West Bank, as has ever been. Officially, it is registered that there is 898 checkpoints. And these are the permanent checkpoints, not the flying occasional ones. And there are 288 gates, which means that you cannot really plan anything. You cannot predict anything if you are moving from one place to the other. And it makes the life literally unbearable. And the main also purpose is also to reconstruct the Palestinian space, further fragmentation, further displacement, and also to make any chances for any sort of development almost impossible, and create, you know, this compulsory environment, state of life, where people are obliged to move for transfer. And also, you must have heard about their plans, the so-called plans E1, E2 around Jerusalem, which is the expansion of the settlement lines there. They are now talking at the Knesset about licensing 103 new settlements that will also reconstruct the whole map. And it aims at separating the northern West Bank from the southern West Bank. And when we exclaim what about that, what does that mean? It means that to move from one city to the other, if you're moving from Ramallah to Bethlehem, which is like, you know, 35 minutes away, you're going to need a permit, which will make the life even much harder.
Well, and you have to plan to take maybe hours to get there because of having to go through checkpoints and
of course, Of course. I mean, if you even get the chance to move, which is already, I mean, you plan for hours now, before this has happened, it's very difficult to move from one place to the other. You can never predict what you're facing on the road. Sometimes they decide to close the checkpoint for hours. Sometimes they close these gates. You never know. They're like, you know, no regular terminal. Time frame. And the last but not least I want to mention also is the prisoners. According to the Palestinian Prisoner Society, it's very difficult to give you accurate number of the prisoners inside the prisons in the West Bank, from the West Bank, I mean the Israeli prisons, but it is approximately around 10 to 12 thousand prisoners. Of them, 370 children below 18 years old. Imagine that. And these prisoners continue to die, especially in the past 2 years. Recently, it has been registered that 328 prisoners have died, some of them inside prison, some of them immediately after being released. Two of them now I know personally, two, because they also target the doctors, as they did in Gaza, they do in the West Bank. Dr. Mazen Rantisi from Ramallah, we call him the doctor of the poor. He's 72 years old, and he's been taken from the borders. He's been traveling, and then he has been imprisoned, and we don't know what's going on with him. He has chronic diseases. Definitely, he's not given his medicine. And Dr. Dima Amin, she's a gynecologist who has been also taken from her house a few days ago. And the very second day of her imprisonment, the lawyer said that she had a heart attack. She had never before had any heart conditions. And she was perfectly healthy. She's barely 50 years old. And she's been taken to the hospital and then placed again in the prison. As I've been mentioning over and over, the forms of tortures exercised in these prisons are horrific. Sexual assaults, rape, starvation, lack of any hygiene. Diseases like scabies are widely spread in the prisons. One form of the tortures the lawyers keep talking about is that they open the rooms and they start shooting rubber bullets at the prisoners. So this is, in short, the situation in the West Bank, in addition, of course, to a very chronic, long-term economic crisis, no salaries provided by the Palestinian Authority because the Israelis withhold the money of the taxes, no workers inside Israel, fuel crisis, and much more.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Guerrilla Radio. I'm speaking today with Salam Hamdan. Salam is a Palestinian political activist, social feminist from Ramallah. She's in Canada right now, and we've spoken over many times over the last couple of years, Salam. And yeah, it does seem just to be a grinding and sinking situation with little assistance from Canada. When you talk about crossing checkpoints, some people can't even cross the threshold of their own home for fear of if they leave their home vacant, as happened in Kusra village, that the settlers that are hanging around outside literally like vultures waiting to jump into their house and claim their houses.
Yes, that's very true. I mean, the settlers are completely unleashed, not actually unleashed, they are encouraged by the Israeli government to do this. It's like, you know, a very a well-organized plan is to make the lives, as I said, unbearable for the Palestinians. Yes, in certain areas, people, it's very hard for them to leave their houses. So usually they plan that at least one family member stays at the house, which is also dangerous. It's also difficult to leave your animals because now they attack the animals. Not even only the livestock, not only the sheep and cows, but also dogs and cats And they started recently attacking the cities. Yesterday, I've seen last night a Knesset member, he's a settler, I can't remember his name, but he's went viral because they also like to video tape themselves and spread it on social media to intimidate people. He was inside Nablus and, you know, started, you know, with a hammer, demolishing statues of martyrs. And Ben Gvir, the infamous Israeli minister, settler, has attacked Calandia refugee camp the day before yesterday. It's as the, you know, the entrance of like the a southern entrance of Ramallah towards Jerusalem, and he attacked the camp.
And this is a United Nations facility, the
Calandia
Training Center. It's an UNRWA mission, which of course has been a target of Israel for a very long time.
Yes, he attacked the facility and the, you know, the main office, like the director's office of the facility, and he sat there, had his coffee, and he said, "I'm gonna be here." And they have, I mean, you know, that they have closed down the UNRWA facility in Jerusalem. UNRWA is completely shut down a long time ago in Gaza, which has been assisting over 80% of the population there. And now they're targeting UNRWA around the West Bank in the refugee camps, trying to kill it as well there.
In the media here at the CBC on Saturday last, Margaret Evans, their Mideast reporter, she has an article up at the CBC website, Israeli settlers blockade part of escalating violence against Palestinians in the occupied West Bank. It's a very long article, even though it was published on Saturday, which limits its viewership, of course. It's welcome, except that she waits to the very end, to the very last paragraphs, before making any statements about, as you mentioned, the E1 area and the construction, these tenders for construction that are essentially legitimizing, in scare quotes, I'll use the word, the further annexation of the West Bank. And she mentions at the very end that Canada and France and Germany and the UK and other countries have condemned Israel's decision to keep these construction tenders for the E1 settlement, keep publishing them and advertising them as available.
Yeah, I've heard about that. And I mean, it's been striking me because I've been hearing about that for so many years. You know, I mean, with every new settler entity, a new outpost or establishment of a settlement, because these outposts end to be settlements. They're never removed, actually, or rarely removed. The Europeans, the Canadians, the Americans condemn and, you know, shoot, you know, these statements that we will do this and that, but nothing happens, actually, and it's continuous. And for them to just, you know, focus on E1, E2 is misleading, because this is just part of a whole settler program in the entire country. It's not limited only to Jerusalem. And it's even much worse in Area C that has been completely swallowed by the Israelis. It is a serious, serious challenge for the people living in Area C, which is the vast bulk of the West Bank. It forms like over 60% of the entire West Bank. Very hard for people to manage their daily issues, for farmers to reach out for water, for people to move from one place to another. Surviving is becoming a question in Area C. And this has been happening for years and years. And many Bedouins have been removed, completely removed from their areas. Villages have been displaced. The Western countries condemn all the time. And Israel proceeds with its project.
Well, there was a meeting at the Security Council of the United Nations today, earlier today, the permanent observer of the state of Palestine to the United Nations, Riyad Mansour. He says annexation has long been underway, but Israel has now crossed the Rubicon when it comes to full-fledged, full-blown annexation with the release of these tenders for the E1 plan. In our final minutes here, Salam, what hope from organizations like the United Nations or the International Court of Justice or any others do you hold in at least reining in Israel, if not bringing about a independence for Palestine?
Well, the International Court of Justice has been, you know, issuing important decisions, naming by name Israeli officials as war criminals. And then it's up to the countries. I mean, these things are called the soft laws as far as the countries are not doing really something serious about it, taking it seriously. There have been hundreds of UN resolutions, and now the Justice and Criminal Courts in action, and nothing serious is happening to Israel. I mean, when Russia invaded Ukraine, they jumped on Russia the very same week. All kinds of sanctions and boycott and, you know, everything possible to be done has been already done. And with Israel, it's just they are settled with these statements. And they call them like soft statements for Israel, like, please try not to do this. Please try not to do that. There are no serious sanctions. They're not even taking the international law seriously. And we keep saying the Palestinians, the international law, the UN, the international court, these are the creation of the Western community, not us. The West is obliged to respect it, you know, to take it seriously. But eternally, Israel has been, immune to all of that. Like, you know, they have full impunity and nothing so far, nothing serious is happening. No serious measures are taken that Israel would actually pause and think about it and take it seriously.
Well, we hope only, you know, for the future, and to keep an eye on this too, because there is so many other stories going on that it's easy to forget that Palestine is this ongoing crime of the first order, and from which all other crimes seem to stem. Salam Hamdan, thank you for coming on again and telling us a little bit about it.
Thank you, Chris, for keeping this issue alive and keep talking about Palestine in your program.
And thanks to Alan McLeod from mintpressnews.com. That's all I've got time for this week. Until the next time, thanks again, Salam.
Thank you, Chris.
There are fires burning around the northern hemisphere, smoke blocking out the sun, like right around here. But in the occupied West Bank, the sources of the flames are soldiers and settlers with addresses and names. I know you're busy, but to whom it may concern, the hilltop boys are chanting, may your village burn. While you evacuate cities filled with smoke, with walls of fire approaching like the wrath of God awoke. The wrath of the Israeli settlers is torching mosques and homes and killing entire families wherever they roam. I know you're busy, but to whom it may concern, the hilltop boys are chanting, may your village burn. Some
somehow we have to make it stop. I know you're busy, but to whom it may concern, the hilltop boys are chanting, may your village burn. I know you're busy.